the beat writer at the Indianapolis Star. He is Zach Osterman. He joins us here on Game Day Tuesday for the Hoosiers. Zach, good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, Glass. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Well, hopefully Iowa got here in one piece. Hopefully they're not snowed in. They're not. Of course they're here. And as we wrap up the final week in the regular season of the Big Ten, Big Ten tournament starts, believe it or not, a week from tomorrow. Everybody's going to play a couple times this week. Triple header tonight, triple header tomorrow night. Wisconsin plays on Thursday. And then I believe it's triple header Saturday and triple header Sunday to wrap things up before everybody heads to Chicago for next weekend's Big Ten tournament. There's all to play for at the top, at the middle, at the bottom, and Indiana needs to get things moving in the right direction as Iowa comes to town tonight. The Hoosiers and Hawkeyes, 7 o'clock on ESPN. 6 days to digest the Northwestern game, which, again, that game for me was a tale of kind of Indiana's basketball season within 40 minutes. You saw the really good offense. You saw the defense that probably didn't stand up to it. You saw tough, aggressive play, but in the end, it was kind of disjointed. And I don't mean that in a negative sense, but when you score 40 points in the first half and then you score 8 points 16 minutes into the second half, that's confusing. And Northwestern, give them credit. They played on their home court, had a nice winning streak. What did the Hoosiers learn from that game? And in the 6 days leading up to tonight's game, what do they have to change to get back to their winning ways?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing, and everybody wants to talk about the defense, and I understand why, but, you know, realistically, that's not really a mystery with this team anymore. What was a little bit more concerning to me was I think we'd seen Indiana hit a couple of these offensive ruts this season and play their way out of them. But their confidence and their swagger and just their, I mean, just sort of the execution, Concrete's talked about this, you know, several times since the Northwestern game. Too much of their everything was attached to their offense in that game. And you could see when the shots weren't falling, and they were good shots by and large. Both coaches admitted after the game they were the same shots Indiana was hitting in the first half when Indiana made 9 threes and scored 40 points. But when those shots stopped falling, you didn't see the composure, I guess. You didn't see an Indiana team that really sort of looked like it was sort of going to gather itself, get it together, find some new way up the mountain, and just sort of regain control. There was, I mean, frankly, a little bit of panic, I think, you know, on the court when those shots weren't falling. And that's the one thing Indiana's got to get away from. It's always going to be a team driven by its offense this season.
I couldn't agree with you more. Their offense puts pressure on other teams. It's not their defense that does that. But how realistically is it for a fan to expect? Indiana opens the game. They shoot 9 of 14 in the first half from the three-point line. That can't possibly last. I think the thing that was kind of frustrating was the lack of options offensively, getting to the rim, getting to the foul line, and not Indiana really struggles sometimes to get easy baskets, and you'd think with all the athletic players offensively, you run some back cuts, do this, do that. It seems like when you make those jump shots in the first half, you settle for them in the second half, and that's one hump I haven't seen this team get over yet.
Well, maybe, I mean, to some extent. At the same time, I would have still go back again. I don't think that Indiana would be too disappointed with a lot of the shots that it took in the second half. It was maybe more a lack of awareness of saying, look, for whatever reason, between when we walked into the locker room at halftime and we came back out to warm up for the second half, it just, something's happened to our
shooting. Yeah, you changed ends, the different rims.
Let's think of something new, because even though these are good shots, even though these are the shots that we want, they're not going down. I think there was just a little bit too much persistence maybe with a formula that for whatever reason it just kind of stopped working. But I also think that you can understand at some level where this team would look at those shots and say, we just got to keep shooting them. We're shooters. Shooters get out of slumps by shooting.
I don't disagree with that, but the other thing that I know is a contested shot that goes in, everybody says, great shot. When it doesn't go in and you keep shooting them, and that's where you start looking at it and say, are you making one more pass? Are you making one more reversal? Are you looking inside? Are you looking to the baseline? And again, those shots aren't going to fall all the time. And then the Hoosiers, the other part of those shots not falling, and Coach Crean talked about this last night on his radio show, it's clear in the rebounding numbers what happens in victory and what happens in defeat.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely true, and that's magnified, obviously, when you are missing a lot of shots, if you're Indiana. Indiana, surprisingly, has not been a terrible offensive rebounding team this year. Their percentages are very good. They're in the top, I want to say, like 70 in the country. They've had some games. I mean, you look back to the Minnesota game, a game where they really, on paper, didn't have a lot of business dominating the glass. They owned that one at both ends on the boards. But you're right. I mean, that's, again, maybe that goes back to the awareness a little bit. Both rebounding and defense are saying, if the shots aren't falling, our solution can't be to just keep putting them up and just keep shooting more and more. We've got to try and figure out a way to affect this game or control this game in another way. Rebounding when your shots aren't falling is an obvious way because there's suddenly all these chances for more rebounds.
Is the Iowa game tonight, Indiana, I don't want to say last because that sounds so final and it's not going to be the case per se. Is it the last game? I just said I didn't want to say last, but I'm going to say last. The last matchup that we see, contrarian to Michigan State, where it's a team that plays like Indiana. These teams almost mirror each other. Iowa's 18-1 when they score 65 or more. They like to get out and stretch their legs as well. This game last year was 90-something to 80-something, the only meeting they had in Bloomington. Is this a more comfortable matchup than maybe a possession-to-possession game like you saw in that second half with Northwestern where they were happy to burn 32 seconds every time off the shot clock?
Oh, I think so. I mean, at least of the two regular season opponents left, obviously you don't know what matchups you're going to find in the postseason. But, I mean, Iowa is very comfortable playing at Indiana's pace. I mean, you know, Tom Crean said multiple times this week his sort of stock line was they run just as fast off of your make as they do off of your missed basket. And I think Indiana will probably be more comfortable. The one question I have, you know, if you look at Iowa, and you don't, I don't like to get too much into just sort of looking at height and comparing heights, but their front line goes 6'9", 6'9", 7'1". Their first man off the bench, if you want to say, Gabriel Olushanye, 6'10". None of those guys are really that unathletic. I mean, they're not necessarily.
Oh, come on. Woodbury's not athletic. Come on.
Well, I mean, he's not that unathletic, though. And I mean, he's probably as athletic as Isaac Haas or A.J. Hammond. And you saw what they did in Indiana. It's not
right.
Apples to apples, as you said. Those
guys
Purdue,
take up space,
Purdue,
block shots, and are thick.
Yeah.
Things
Purdue,
Indiana doesn't have a lot of.
Purdue, like Northwestern, was going to play more deliberately than Iowa would. But I don't think the Hawkeyes are going to be put off, obviously, by Indiana's pace. And I do think that they've got some just sort of some natural matchup wins if you look at the way that Indiana's going to have to line up.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's going to guard White because he can take you outside. He can take you to the post. He can take you to 15 feet. He's a tough matchup for anybody.
Well,
Big Ten player of the week.
And figuring out who guards him, then who guards Jared Utah, how do you handle Adam Woodbury or Gabriel Olushanye when you're already dealing with those two, you know, big forwards?
Well, I think you mentioned it earlier. I think you solved the problem. How does Indiana deal with that? Indiana goes out, shoots the basketball really well to get the game started, and makes Iowa adjust to their pace. We've seen when this team is successful, they get out on teams and make teams get out of their comfort zone. And when Indiana hasn't been successful, i.e. at Purdue, i.e. At Wisconsin or wherever else it's been, when Indiana has to chase the game, it's different. So it's really the start to me is huge because of that. Make Fran make some decisions moving forward.
I mean, I think to some extent, but again, I go back to saying Iowa is happy playing at that pace. Now, obviously, if you're making Iowa chase the game on the scoreboard, then you're going to be able to control what adjustments you make and when you introduce new layers and wrinkles, obviously. But you're certainly not going to put them off by playing fast. You're not going to put them off by upping the tempo. And so I think the question I have for Indiana is, can your offense just sort of keep up? Because I think if Iowa's smart anyway, they're going to see the way that teams have used big bodies to beat up this team in the last couple 3 weeks. I mean, not even Northwestern did it a little bit with Alex Ola. He did not have a bad game.
17-11.
And they're going to, I mean, at whatever pace they want to play, they're going to attack with their size. As you said, can you hit shots? Can you keep pace? And can you, I mean, Iowa is going to test your fatigue level more than most teams would. I know Indiana wants to run, but when you find another team that wants to run, sometimes all of a sudden that gets into your legs in a different way.
Zach Osterman's our guest this morning, the beat writer for the Indy Star. You can find him at Zach Osterman. One more before we let you go here on a busy day. The old saying is, and I'm a big believer in this, it's a lot easier to score from 2 feet than 23 feet. How do you think Indiana, you know, even the foul line with the clock stop, no one's guarding you from 15 feet. Do you think Indiana needs to, I don't think they live and die by the three-point shot, but I think when they're more successful, Tom Crean talks about it all the time, they have to get through the paint. And Troy Williams dunks the ball a lot better than he shoots jump shots. How about more of that?
Well, and I think, and he's I mean, all season he said he wants more from the free throw line. I think when you are a team that takes, and I think you're right, I don't think they necessarily live and die at the three-point line, although that's obviously sort of the first line of offense. But when you are a team that takes a lot of jump shots, that just naturally has a lot of jump shooters, I think that you maybe sometimes do have to be reminded, look, every once in a while attacking the basket is the preferable play here. You've still got to draw some fouls. You've still got to put teams in foul trouble. Really, Indiana is, and I don't have stats in front of me, but I would argue a better team at getting to the foul line when Hunter Perea is in. He's adept at drawing fouls.
One thing Coach Stink mentioned last night on his radio program, settling for threes in the corner when you want to attack the basket out of the corner. Again, those are things that just have to happen, again, to make Indiana successful. There's not a lot of margin for error, and the Hoosiers need balance offensively. They need some balance defensively as well, and they take on Iowa at 7 o'clock tonight. Kay, can you check in with us before we get the Big Ten going next week? You're going to be in Chicago, obviously. Maybe we'll get you before you get to that time change.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on,
guys. Hey, thanks. Safe travels out there today, and we'll get caught up with you before the Hoosiers hit the Windy City next week.
Sounds good, buddy.